Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, November 23rd, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that is going to keep trying to find marketing reasons to call up Margaret and Frost because they're not coming up with hockey reasons to do so. So
no.
For your Black Friday game, Flyers, use the little snowflake emoji, Frost, Santa sacks. Do your best with that, okay? Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. Keep up to date on all the Flyers news, our episodes, good stuff. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I am Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. And I'm here, as always, with Russ Cohen, who's on Twitter at Sportsology. On today's show, we are going to talk about the Flyers game tonight versus Tampa, the first in the dreaded Florida back-to-backs. And then we will check in with the Phantoms. Lots to talk about on that front as well. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So hit that subscribe button and you will get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Russ, so got to start off with a downer, as always, because that's what we do in Flyers land.
I mean, we don't make the news. It just comes to us.
I know. Kevin Hayes, we got the latest information on him finally. As somewhat predicted by many people in terms of what happened, he suffered a re-injury in that Calgary game on November 16th. He is now week to week, which is definitely throwing a wrench in some consistency on the forward front.
Yeah, so if you remember, he first fell down on the ice, like sort of like on his side, right? And then was like in a heap skating off. And that was, I think, towards the end of the first period. And we were all like, well, he's not coming back in this game. But then he went back in the game. So I would have a big question. Why did he go back in that game?
It's a very good question. I mean, you never know what happens behind the scenes with these decisions. And,
no.
You know, if he said he was feeling better and they checked him out medically and they thought there wasn't anything that could prevent him from going back in the game. I mean, I don't doubt that that's something that could happen. It's just, when you saw that he wasn't going to come back in again, that's when you knew, well, that's something more serious. And maybe it's something he didn't realize until later on.
Okay, so we get past that part. Then Alain Vigneault is like, yeah, I didn't ask about an update. Like, come on. He's your number two center. You didn't ask about him? Really? We know you did. So we have to get past that and then say, we all knew he wasn't going to play on this Tampa trip. We knew he would travel with him because he said he wants to travel with the team even when he's injured. Fine. So we let that go. But nobody thinks he's playing Black Friday either. Like, this is week to week. Once they admit to week and it's a re-injury, re-injuries take 2-3 weeks at best. And then you kind of see where it's at because you know what happens if the re-injury doesn't look good after they, you know, leave a determinate amount of time for it to sort of heal back. Then you know what the next step is. So you hope that that doesn't happen. But, you know, we're probably 2-3 weeks away from him possibly playing.
Yeah, and that will get us into the next discussion that we'll talk about, especially in the next couple segments of this episode, when we talk about the Phantoms and, you know, what are your options there? Because we've had a few games where they've tried to shuffle things around to make it work without him there. And none of those have been hugely successful, save maybe that second line with Drew on it at this point. And, you know, we talked about that on yesterday's show, that was probably the only line that stood out positively in the game against Boston. So I do think that there's a lot of questions that come up and there are some potential solutions that it seems like they're not considering at this point. And, you know, they did make a couple tweaks to the lines in practice, but it's really just on the bottom six. And as you like to say, it's shuffling the deck chairs on the
Titanic. It really is. Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And, you know, something could be sparked for a game, but I'm not sure that those changes are long-term solutions. They may be one-game shots of a boost of energy or something. But, you know, back-to-back against Tampa and Florida, is that going to be your best indicator of success and what you should do for like a medium term solution here, especially when you have to manage ice time for these two games against pretty fast teams? That yes. If you're not managing ice time effectively in that game against Tampa, they're just going to be like on the struggle bus skating super slow against Florida, which is not going to work out for you.
You know, with Tampa first, you know, Braden Point's out. He was killing them last game. So that'll be a help. But again, they still have Steven Stamkos. They still have Victor Hedman, who was a massive problem last game. They still have players. They may be missing a fair amount of players, but they still got players that are you know, hard to work play against. And they have a great goalie. So if they put Vasilevsky in there, that's going to make things a little bit tougher. I have now resigned myself, and I know we talked about it last show, but now to the point, we're not only not seeing Morgan Frost in Florida, I don't think we're seeing him in Black Friday. I don't know. I don't have a good answer as to when we might see him, because it just seems like Alain Vigneault is kind of like in the batten down the hatches kind of mode that coaches get in. He already protected French Mike, and now it seems like he is just circling the wagons here. Because things haven't been great. I mean, if you want to get to the point heart of it, somebody put up the other day, like they gained three out of a possible 6 points in this last little bit. And during that time, they lost 6 points in the standings. This is a hard division. Every point matters. Are you really playing with the players that are giving you the best chance of winning? And I don't think they are.
Yeah, and you know, something we brought up before we started recording today's show, which I think is a good segue from your point you just made, is that Chuck Fletcher has been pretty quiet over the past couple weeks with one of your major players out for a significant portion of the season. And, you know, one of your big talking points, Chuck, before the season was that you had contingency plans. And these contingency plans with depth signings aren't working out right now. And you made those signings because ostensibly you didn't want to make the same mistake as last year in relying on the youth. Well,
right.
You do have some youth options here. And your contingency plans are, you know, they're not the worst. I'm not saying like everybody's playing really, really badly. It's just collectively the team is not performing. So you need to shake something up. And you do have some youth options. And right now, Alain Vigneault is not utilizing those options. And so between a major injury, which GMs usually speak up on, and, you know, and just talk about it from a management perspective. And when your coach starts to get under fire, especially one of your assistant coaches, because the power play is so terrible and is actually dramatically affecting your win-loss column, and you're saying nothing because you've put all of your eggs in the Alain Vigneault and this coaching team's basket, and you said your vote of confidence before the season started, don't you owe it to them to back them up?
Yeah, I think today would have been a good day to speak if he's on that trip, which he probably is. I think it would have been a very good day to speak, because then he could say, yeah, I know it's a tough break with Ellis and now with Hayes, but this is how we're going to overcome this. This is what I'm currently doing. This is what I'm thinking about. But we don't know any of these things. So we're just left to sort of speculate. And so the speculation is, honestly, and we'll get into it when we get more with the Phantoms, but Morgan Frost can't look much better than he does right now in the AHL. I get it if you had this set amount of games you want him to play, but not everything works out that way in life. So then I think it has to be the coach. So maybe Chuck just wants to stay out of all of this. But again, then he's not being very forthcoming and he's not being proactive. And everybody gave him all the plaudits in the offseason for being proactive. Now, I've seen some posts, some fan posts that have said, hey, Good for you, Chuck. This team is so much better to watch than last year. Thanks. But for me, that's just like accepting crumbs. Like, is that really where it's at? I don't think that's where Flyer fans really want it to be at. So you're more exciting to watch? That's it? That's the bar? I think the bar has to be higher than that.
It's hard to say this without being punny, but with, you know, to your point about Braden Point being out for Tampa, they, you know, defeated the Wild in a shootout on Sunday, but they blew a lead first before they had that win. And then, you know, they lost to the Devils on Saturday, allowing 4 unanswered third period goals, which is not great. So Tampa is beatable, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure by this Flyers team. And I think it's actually a good test for them. And, you know, if they can come out of this with at least 1 point and play well, I do think that there's some salvaging.
Okay, but even you're setting the bar kind of low. Like, let's come out of it with a point. Like, why can't they win it? Why can't they win this game?
I'm saying the bare minimum is a point and then playing well.
I know, and that is the bare, you're right. That is the bare minimum. That's true.
So I think that this game against Tampa and then what they can follow up with on Florida is going to set the tone. And maybe Chuck Fletcher will jump in at that point. But, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we are approaching Thanksgiving and that Black Friday game, which I do want Morgan Frost to play in. But before that, we'll be having that huge Thanksgiving meal with all the good food and treats and plenty of them. And, you know, of course, afterwards, you're going to want to dig into a huge dessert spread, but you may not want all that sugar and all that calories. And that's where Built Bars come in. You can have that huge feast, feel good about it, and then maybe only have one slice of pie or substitute that second slice of pie with a Built Bar. One slice of pie has about 300 calories, and that's on the low end, but Built Bars have only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. They're low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. And it's not just for Thanksgiving. They're for whenever you need it. Have one when you're on the go or you're out working out. And share them with all your friends and family. There will be new surprises all month with limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly. So check the site often. And there's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com and use that promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all of your podcasting platforms. So the Phantoms did not have a great week this past week. There were some bright spots, so we will talk about that for sure. But they came out of it with 3 losses against Charlotte, Rochester, and Toronto. Albeit the second two, they lost in the shootout to Rochester and then lost in overtime to Toronto. And in those 3 games, you know, the good side is that they were able to come back twice this weekend, still winding up with losses in those 2 games. But they did, you know, erase goal deficits. But then in the 3rd game, they blew a 2-goal lead. So you win some, you lose some with the Phantoms these days. And, you know, especially the game against Charlotte was, I think, the one that was the most of a heartbreaker because, you know, they went down 0-3. Came back to tie it with 3 third period goals. It was so exciting.
That's a big deal.
And then Charlotte scored on the power play with less than 2 minutes left in the game for the game-winning goal. Just brutal.
Yeah. So on that part of it, you're like, ugh, what a bad time to take a penalty. And, you know, why couldn't the PK stop it? Why couldn't the PK do the job? Like, there's still things that we're seeing with this team that aren't working. They work for short periods, and I do think some of their talent prevails at times, like you just said, but I don't know. I don't get a great warm feeling when I'm watching some of these games. I see some good shifts, but I don't see good games, full games.
You know, they're in a bit of a different situation, again, with so many injuries on this team right now, including Sam Ersson is still out in net. So Felix Sandstrom has been shouldering the big part of the load here. He played the first two games. Pat Nagel, who was like a depth, you know, minor league goaltender signing, played versus the Marlies. But I think that Sandstrom is probably tired, to be honest. It definitely
Well, that's where the PK got to pick him up, you know? Mm-hmm. That's where you would hope for that to happen.
And, you know, in Friday's game, you know, to their credit, after, you know, taking that bad penalty, they did a really good job of staying out of the box in that game. There was really only one, like, quote unquote, real penalty, because one of them was a delay of game. And then there was an offsetting situation. So, you know, they did do a good job on that front. And, you know, they still struggled, though.
Yeah, there were a couple things I noticed. That first goal for the Amerks in the crease, they didn't have a real good answer for getting the player out of the crease. They gave up a goal because of a bad turnover, which I know you're going to talk about. But the speed aspect is what I was going to talk about on this. The speed aspect was nobody was able to get the player with speed. So I saw those things, and then you were going to say about the third period, and then I got something about that.
They barely had any shots on goal in that third period, except for, you know, the pulled goalie time, which tied it up. So don't really, you know, think there was much to their 5-on-5 effort. And then they got zero shots on goal in the overtime period, including they had a 4-on-3 power play in that overtime. No shots on goal.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk about. On the 4-on-3, they were having a hard time holding on to the puck, actually keeping possession of it. And I was like, really?
I'm a huge fan of J.J. Paterka. I wanted him on the Flyers more than anything, but that was not meant to be. And so for him to score that shootout winner was just like, it was a punch in the gut. But, you know,
yeah, he's got hands,
can't blame a kid for being good.
No. He's a good up-and-coming player for sure.
So, you know, it didn't really carry on too well into the game against the Marlies. There was a really great play with Isaac Ratcliffe and Jackson Cates leading to that Ratcliffe goal. It was like a textbook 2-on-1 how you're supposed to execute. So I was glad to see that. But then, you know, they let the Marlies come back from a 2-0 deficit. Phantoms had a 5-minute major power play, nothing coming of it, like not even quality chances out of it.
Again, you can't have that happen. Like, it's so obvious to say, but there are times when things just don't look like they're working for them.
Yeah, and, you know, I just keep coming back to coaching on this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a coach would be able to, you know, at least give them a system to get back down to the basics and just work on some basic possession-based hockey.
That'd
and
be fine.
They're just not doing it.
No. And they're still one of the worst teams in the league. They're not the worst, but certainly they're closer to being the worst than the best. They're still in last place in their division. Like, I was not expecting that. I don't know about you, but based on the... And I get it. Like, they have injuries. Like, you know, Allison's still out, and now... And we have more injuries than that. But we could always fall back on injuries, and that's fine. You know, Tyson Forster, the 5 months for the shoulder. I mean, he hadn't played particularly well anyhow. But they still have a lot of talent there. They still should be getting better results. They still have good goaltending. It's just not clicking.
It worries me in terms of the player development aspect of it. And it continues to do that.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, like you said, there's moments where they look really good and some players are having individual good games.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't think it's helping some of the prospects that you want to see get better. And I will especially say that for Cam York and Agor Zamula, because if you're going to bring them up because it'll help your power play, they're just not in a place to do that, because the Phantoms can't put it together well enough for them to even have effective moments.
It's a good point. Thanks to Instat, I was able to pull some interesting stats for York and Zamula. So right now, I wouldn't call up either one. I just couldn't. And it's based on some of what you said. There are some positives, though. Like York, he's got .63. He's averaging .63 hits per game, and there's .69 against. So he's actually gotten better at that, which I think is with more confidence and strength. And I think that's why that's a real big positive. But he only has one goal. How could you bring him up if he only has one goal? And even Zamula has his point per game is way better than York's, because remember, he had the injury. He was out for a little while. So while York looks smooth out there and he's actually getting 57% of his shots on goal, it's not helping him a lot because he only got 7 points. So not a lot of people, or maybe it's eight. I think he's like eight. But not a lot of people are knocking him in. And he's not getting goals. He should get goals. So that's one thing. For Zamula, he's getting 50% of his shots on goal, which is fine. But again, he's got like 6 assists. He hasn't played as much. But the other thing is his points per game, like I said, is higher than York. And both players have, you know, points for this weekend, which is fine. But like you said, if it's just power play based, there is no other reason to bring these guys up right now. So Nick Seeler's job is safe. So like when AV talked about him playing like, I don't know, 50 or 60 games, he's going to do it.
I agree with you on that. And it just, to me, you know, I see like people posting on social media about like, oh, let's bring up Cam York. Yeah. And to me, I'm like, you must not have been watching these games, because
no, there's nothing that points it out statistically or otherwise. No. There are some good things. They are developing. Like York, I see, does look very smooth with the puck. Like there are some good things. Zamula is skating well. There's good things, but just like that team, they're not putting it all together either. Frost is the only one putting it all together. When we talk about him, there's some good things I could say about him.
All right. Well, we will talk about him and probably some more about York and Zamula related to the power play after we take a short break.
BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, so let's continue a little bit in our conversation with Cam York and Edgar Zamula and potential clubs. Then we'll get into Morgan Frost. So one thing I do want to point out, and that was some great stats you brought up in the last segment, they had a power play unit set up with Cam York on it that had a 2D setup with Logan Day. And it didn't look too bad in the Rochester game, especially there was one in the second period of that game. And Cam had some good moves and shots. But to me, if you're going to highlight him as a potential call-up, like he has to be running a power play unit that's a 1D four forward formation, because that's ideally what they would want him to do for the Flyers. And I just don't see like his best version of quarterbacking a power play being in that 2D setup.
No, you're right. I mean, that's where Fletcher or even AV, if they're getting to see any tape for Lehigh, and I know Fletcher goes once in a while, should be saying something to the coaching staff there. Like, why are you doing this? What do you think this is going to do for us? I need this. We're not getting that. Is this the best way to go? Like, you need to bring up these kinds of things.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked a little bit about that overtime power play where they got no shots. It was a similar situation, I think, which Cam York and Logan Day were out there together with Frost and Mayhew. Now, Frost and Mayhew have been connecting really well. Right. But I think in that situation, you have to have sort of a more of a diamond structure than a square, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. In order to open the lanes, in order to get quality shots, and they got nothing of it. So I just don't think the coaches in Lehigh Valley are putting together systems and, you know, structures in special teams to put these prospects in a position to get them call-ups. I am firmly in that camp right now. And I do think something needs to happen on that front. Yeah. And that's something else that Chuck Fletcher could be talking about. But let's, you know, go back to Morgan Frost, because we're going to talk about this until the cows come home, or at least until they call him up.
Or at least till after Black Friday.
Yeah, that's for sure. He had another pretty solid weekend, considering, you know, the results of the team overall. He had a great feed to Wilson in the Rochester game in the first period. He had a goal and two assists in that game, including a power play goal. He set up that tying goal. You could see his frustration when he didn't score in that shootout. Like, he really works hard, and he takes pride in his game-making abilities. So it was hard to see that level of criticism, self-criticism in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, he went and scored in the first of the game on Saturday against Marlies. It was a shot that required some really good vision, and I was very impressed by it. And he just seems to be getting more and more poised and confident. And he just, like, I think the patience on that shot in the Marlies game is one of the main reasons why I think he's ready. He just knows how to pick his moments so much better and know the flow of the game and know where bodies are going to be in order to get that shot through.
No, I think you're right. I think both on the power play and the other goal, he his wrist shot's got a lot of snap on it, and he is waiting until the right time, till the goalie flinches, till something. So the patience end of it, you've picked that up really well. He is able to do that, still be confident, still get top shelf, and those are big goals. Now, the failing is when you're expecting Morgan Frost to kind of like be around the net and score. That's not his game. He's never going to be that guy. Once in a while, maybe with speed, he'll come in on the net and get a goal that way, but he's never going to be that guy that kind of jams him in down low. He's not there yet in the evolution of the kind of player he is. But he's got a great wrist shot, and if you get him a little space and you get him a good pass, he will make some good moves. He had, I think it was on the second one, a nice deke to kind of set up that wrist shot. And those are the kinds of things he can do. I think when you look at that and you say, I could put Nate Thompson on the bench, bring up this kid and at least see some of that, and put Lawton on the fourth line. Like, I don't know why I don't do that. But at least at this level, you could see he's one of the better players at this level. Maybe the player who's only better than him was Josh Hosang, right, in the Marlies game.
He burned the Phantom so bad.
He did. And look, the kid's got a lot of talent. I've been talking about Josh Hosang forever, right? But he had an attitude problem for a while. But the kid can skate, and he's got moves. It's interesting because I think Frost is better well-rounded than a guy like Hosang, because Hosang sometimes takes dumb penalties. Frost doesn't really do that. And Frost has gotten stronger and more confident, and his shot's got more snap on it now. And he looks really good out there, and he's trying to make players better around him. But there are some times when, you know, he's feeding his players and he's not getting it back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where we go from here as far as the Phantoms go, but I would certainly like people to be asking more questions. And maybe, you know, this is something that, in this very near future press conference that Chuck Fletcher has, that somebody asks him about what's going on with Lehigh Valley.
I mean, can you win two out of three? Is that possible?
Realistically, I don't think so, but I think anything's possible.
I mean,
coming up in the AHL.
Coming up, if nothing else, they should be able to beat Bridgeport with the problems that the Islanders have with all the players they've called up. If they don't win that game, we are seriously going to have to question them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's the middle of the three games coming up this weekend. Their Black Friday game is at Syracuse. That should be a tough one. But Bridgeport should be a winnable game. And then they face Hershey, which is always a tough opponent.
It's always hard, man.
So this is kind of a relentless, you know, three games in a row. So we'll probably see Sandstrom for like Friday and Sunday, and maybe Nagel in the middle, because that's the Islanders game, right?
It would make sense.
We'll see what happens there. But yeah, winning two of three, I think, would be a good accomplishment for them at this point. All right, wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing. Russ, you pointed this one out, and I'm so glad you did. Flyers had their practice in Tampa yesterday, and Carter Hart got out on the ice a little bit early and just, you know, for funsies, went and scored a goal on nobody, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was on nobody, and then he raised his hand and, you know, and he had his little celebration. Like, you got to have some fun out there, right? You do. And then he went to work after that, and that's great. I think, why not do that? I think that's fun, and at least we know he's going to be loose for the Tampa game.
Yeah, so thanks to Gianna from The Inquirer on that one. Very glad to get those fun moments. That'll do it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. On tomorrow's show, we will be recapping tonight's game against Tampa, looking ahead to Florida, maybe a little Thanksgiving turkey talk, and get some mailbag questions in. So send those questions in via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M.
And I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, SportsOlogy.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.